Lord, we want to hear what you're saying to us. Father, we just ask that you'd open up your word to us and by your Holy Spirit, reveal, Lord, your word to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. It was interesting hearing Rob talking about his visit to Israel this morning. And what really caught me was he said that God has this great big plan and purpose for us, for our lives. But it comes, he said, what he really realized was also that this plan was for him. It wasn't just something that was out there and written in the word, but it was actually a part of him, that it could come down and, you know, that it could be a part of him. And in a sense, really, that's what I want to talk about this morning, you know, about God's great big plan for his people. And you are his people. And so God's got a great big plan for you. He already has it. He's already working his purposes in your life, if you didn't already know. Yeah? Amen. And he's going to go on doing it as well, you know. Don't matter how old you are, where you are in your life, what you're doing. You just submit to God, trust him, obey him. He's going to continue to do a work in you. So I wrote down a couple of questions that I really wanted to get an answer to this morning before I start speaking. So my first question to you is this. How many of you are praying for your situation to be changed? Okay, just let me know. Stick your hand up if you're praying for your situation to be changed. Okay, it's quite a few. It's mostly over here, I must say. I don't know why, but it seems to be the anointing is over here this morning. But let's see if we can get it here as well. Okay. Here's another question. I think this is perhaps a more important question. How many of us are praying for God to change us in our situation? Yeah. And see, that's it. I think there's quite a difference there, isn't there? You know, you can say, God, why doesn't something change in my situation? Why doesn't something change in my life? And nothing is happening. But all the time, God's working his purpose and his plan out for you. He's doing that. He's changing you. Sometimes that takes time. Sometimes it takes decades. Sometimes it takes a few years. Yeah. I want to try and explain a little bit about that through the story of Joseph this morning. Joseph's story in the Old Testament. So if you would like to turn in your Bibles, please, to Genesis chapter 37. I'm just going to read a little bit of scripture. Joseph, as most of us will know, I'm assuming that most of us will have heard or read about the story of Joseph and his brother, well known for his coat of many colours. I'd love a coat like Joseph's, I really would, but Jeannie won't let me have one. Sorry, I didn't hear that. Anyway, let's start. We're going to start at verse 1, chapter 37. Now Jacob dwelt in the land where his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. This is the history of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brothers, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought a bad report of them to his father. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age. Also he made him a tunic of many colours. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. Now Joseph had a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. So he said to them, "Please hear this dream which I have dreamed. There we were, binding sheaves in the field. Then behold, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And indeed, your sheaves stood all around and bowed down to my sheaf." And his brothers said to him, "Shall you indeed reign over us? Or shall you indeed have dominion over us?" So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. Then he dreamed another dream, still another dream, and told it to his brothers and said, "Look, I've dreamed another dream." And this time, the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars bowed down to me. So he told it to his father and his brothers. And his father rebuked him and said to him, "What is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall your mother and I and your brothers indeed come to bow down to the earth before you?" And his brothers envied him, but his father kept the matter in mind. So when I was asked to speak, the title I was given was God's Word. God speaks to us through his word. I don't think there'll be many in here this morning who would disagree with that, would you? That God speaks to us through his word. Perhaps a more important question might be, how does God speak to us? When does God speak to us? Where does God speak to us? Why does God speak to us? And how does he speak to us? So the working title that I've got for my talk this morning is Waiting on God. Not yet, Joseph. Not yet, Joseph. Okay. I'm sure you're all familiar with the story, as I said before. Joseph is a man who is mentioned in God's Hall of Faith. By faith, Joseph, it says, in Hebrews 11:22. Joseph was wise and prudent. He was forgiving. He had strong emotions. He was spiritually sensitive. And he could see God's hand in human events. Joseph's story is a story of redemption, restoration, reconciliation, and healing. It's a story, in essence, of God's great plan for every one of us. And what I really love about this story, when I read it myself, is just how God really worked in this family and drew them back together again and pulled them. It was part of God's bigger plan to keep his people and to point the way to Jesus. But for us as well, to show us and teach us to work in our situations, to work in our families. You see, it shows me that nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible. You know, when you trust God, when you obey his word, when you seek his face, when you read his word and apply it to your heart and let it, you know, somebody this morning said in the prayer meeting, "Open the eyes of my heart, Lord." That's what we want, isn't it? We want reality. We want reality in our lives. We want God to open the very eyes of our heart, that he can see what's going on, that he can see the pain that we might be feeling, that he can feel and has already felt the things that we are feeling. It's just so amazing. And say the story of Joseph in the Bible teaches us many things. I would encourage you to read it. Chapters 37 through to 50, right? It's a fairly long read, but I guarantee it will pay off. I want you to read it. This is your homework, okay, for the rest of your lives, right? This is your homework, the Bible. But this week, this week I want you to read the story of Joseph, because I guarantee you it will bring out things that you'd never seen and never imagined. And, you know, and they will touch your life individually. And God will heal, you know. God will touch. He'll show you things that perhaps you hadn't thought about before through the story of Joseph. You know, and it shows us that even when God is with us, life is not always straightforward, is it? Life is not always normal. And that's where I read from it. But as long as we trust in him and we are obedient to his word and calling, then he's going to work his plan and purpose out for us. Joseph's story is something of a roller coaster, isn't it? He was the favorite son, as it says in that piece of scripture. Also, a hated brother. A very hated brother. Yeah. A favorite slave in Potiphar's house. And then being falsely accused and thrown into prison. Even in prison, he found favor. But then he was left to languish in there when the cupbearer and the baker were released. They forgot about Joseph being in there. And another 2 years he had to wait before something happened. Favored again and then raised up to become prime minister of Egypt. How amazing is that, eh? Right? Sold into slavery and ends up being the prime minister of the land. How would that happen? How would that affect you if somebody did something like to you in your life, eh? Right? Starts off fairly sort of like seemingly low level, but God raises you up. He's already done it anyway, hasn't he? Hasn't he done it? You know. For this purpose, John, Christ was revealed. We are new creations. God's done that work in us already. But you never know what else he wants to do for you. So as Joseph reached the pinnacle in his life, you'd think so, wouldn't you? I've made it. I've arrived. I'm now the prime minister in the land. I've got great power, great authority, great influence. But is it what God intended for him? Maybe. Maybe. I think God had a greater purpose here. We'll go into that shortly. I want to be a little bit frivolous for a moment, okay? So forgive me if you're not a Star Wars fan, okay? Any Star Wars fans in here? Come on. Put your hand up, Bob, Rob. There you are, see over there? Right, so here you go. And if you're a Star Wars fan, you'll remember in episode 6, which is called The Return of the Jedi, for those who don't know, right? And Luke Skywalker, one of the heroes in it, he's visiting his master, Yoda. You know about this, Jay, don't you? Right? You're a big Star Wars fan. Did you put your hand up? So he's visiting Yoda to find out about his father. His father turns out to be, no spoiler here, but his father is Darth Vader, okay? All right? I'm glad that the youth are joining in this morning. I really am pleased about that. Eh? And so Luke Skywalker says to Yoda, "I have become a Jedi Knight." And then there's this pause and Yoda says, "Not yet. Not yet." I love that. You know, he thinks he's arrived, but not quite yet. Yeah. And so every time something good or bad happened to Joseph in this rollercoaster ride, it says in the Bible that God was with him. That's cool, isn't it? And yet he lands up in trouble so many times. So how can God be with him and all this rubbish in his life happened to him? In chapter 39, verse 3, it says, "And his master, Potiphar, saw that the Lord was with him." Again, in verse 39, it says, "The Lord was with him and whatever he did." And that's when he was given favor in prison. And then in chapter 41 of Genesis, it says, in verse 39, Pharaoh is speaking to Joseph and he said, "Inasmuch as God has shown you all this, there's no one as wise and discerning as you." And he elevated him to a high position. Pharaoh acknowledged that God was working in Joseph's life. People will acknowledge that God is working in your life. Yeah? They will. They are already doing it. So have you ever felt like Joseph in that situation, knowing that God was with you, but the circumstances didn't quite seem to match it? You know, God is with me in all this, so how come I'm in trouble? How come I'm in this difficult position? I don't know. I haven't got an answer to that. But knowing that God was with him kept Joseph going. You see, waiting on God is not always an easy option. But Scripture tells us very clearly, here's one or two scriptures that tell us very clearly about why it is right to wait on God. In Psalm 37, verse 7, it says, "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him." Wait patiently for him. That might be quite a long time, but wait for him. In Isaiah 30, verse 18, it says, "For the Lord is a God of justice. How blessed are all those who long, who wait for him." So Joseph was a dreamer. And dreams can be very strange things, can't they? Anybody else, and apart from me, had strange dreams? Every single night. There are a few over there as well. Right. We'll not ask you to share them because they might be quite strange. But people, everybody dreams, don't they, I think. Is there anybody who doesn't dream? Right? There's nobody holding their hand up. So everybody dreams, then, right? And Joseph was a dreamer. And Joseph had two dreams, didn't he? And the first dream, he dreamt that he was in the middle of his brothers and that his sheaf was raised up and his brothers would bow down. And then he had another dream in which he said that the sun, the moon, and the stars would bow down. His whole family would bow down. And do you think that made Joseph popular? No. No. I don't think so. So God gave Joseph these dreams, and in God's time, they would be fulfilled. But not in the way that probably Joseph thought that they would. Because as Joseph goes through his life and all this stuff is happening to him, he's thinking, well, what about these dreams? When are these dreams going to be fulfilled? How are they going to be fulfilled? What is God going to do? The plans God has for us will come to pass, but not necessarily in the way that we think they will. And I think that's quite exciting, actually. I do. That sometimes, you know, you think that you know the whole story of what your life is planned ahead for you. But actually, God has got something different. But if God has given you a promise, if God has said to you that he will do something in your life, he will do it. Every promise that God makes, he keeps. Jeremiah 29, verse 11, a very well-known scripture. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. It doesn't actually say when and how. It just says that God has plans for you, doesn't it? It doesn't give the detail. Perhaps it's just as well that he doesn't give us the details there. And so as we read this unfolding story of Joseph, we begin to wonder what God has got in mind in Joseph's life, don't we? How long will it take for God's purposes and plans for Joseph to be outworked? And so when you read the Bible, Joseph's not alone. There are other people, other characters, other figures in the Bible who had to wait a long time before God moved and did something. Noah had to wait 150 years. I read this online, actually, courtesy of Vic Dunning. Lessons in life. Everything I need to know about life, I learned from Noah's Ark. Yeah. Number one. Don't miss the boat. Number two, remember we're all in the same boat. Good. Participation. Number three, plan ahead. It wasn't raining when Noah started to build the ark. Yep. Number four, this is probably for a few of us here, keep fit. When you're really old, someone may ask you to do something really big and grand. Number five, don't listen to critics. Just get on with the job that needs to be done. Number six, build your future on high ground. Number seven, for safety's sake, always travel in pairs. Number eight, speed isn't always an advantage. Ask the snails and the cheetahs. Think about that one. I had to think about that one. Number nine, when you're stressed, float a while. Number 10, Remember, the Ark was built by amateurs. The Titanic was built by shipbuilders. No matter the storm, when God is with you, there's always a rainbow to remind you of his promise. Amen. That's the best one of the lot, isn't it? Yeah. And not only Noah, but Abraham, Moses, David, Daniel, Ruth, Esther, all of them had to wait for God's timing, didn't they? They had to wait on God's timing. So why might God want us to wait? God really works according to our timetable. We would all like God to work according to our timetable, wouldn't we? How uncomplicated that would be if he did everything when we wanted it done. Yeah? Be great, wouldn't it? But he doesn't. See, God, surprisingly, doesn't have a calendar or a diary or an Android app. He doesn't have any of those things. He's just got this great big plan. See, Martha thought that Jesus had got his timing wrong. She said, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. But God knew, Jesus knew, didn't he? He knew the right timing. He knew when to come. The Bible tells us quite a few reasons why we need to wait on God. Waiting reveals our true motives. It tests the heart, doesn't it? It shows. Just turn to Proverbs chapter 4. If you can put that up, Nathan, please. Nathan, Proverbs, not Nathan. The book of Nathan, yeah. Proverbs chapter 4, just after Psalm, yeah. Here we go. So I'm reading verses 20 to 27 of chapter 4. Okay. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ears to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight forward, and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or the left. Remove your foot from evil. God is interested and wants us to respond with our heart. That should be the motives that we always have in us, you know. And waiting brings out the best in us, doesn't it? But waiting also builds patience in our life. Learning to wait for small things helps us to have patience for bigger things. Waiting also builds anticipation. The longer you have to wait, the more you'll appreciate it. Who agrees with that, yeah? That when you want something that's really, really important in your life, the longer that you have to wait for it, the more you will appreciate it when it comes to you, yeah? Waiting transforms character. It rubs the rough edges off us. Look at Noah, Abraham, Moses, and even Jesus had to wait 30 years until his ministry would begin. Let me just read a little bit from a book I've been reading that a dear friend gave it to me Christmas time. And it says this, Blaise Pascal wrote, "And help me to do little things as though they were great, because I do them in your name. What God wants for us in life requires more than our ability, giftedness, or education. It requires character. We go to school to acquire knowledge and skills. God takes us to his school to hammer our character. His testing of our character brings situations that require integrity and evaluation of our intentions." Waiting builds intimacy with God. Getting to know God is not just about filling our time, is it? It's probably one of the most important things we do whilst we're waiting for God to do something. And waiting in circumstances can provide opportunities that we'd never imagined. Maturity is not something that happens overnight. It takes time. It happens over time. It may take months or years of seemingly unproductive and wasted toil. And although it seems to be happening to Joseph, his dreams were becoming reality, step by step, situation by situation. God was fulfilling his dreams. And it's only when you get to the end of that book that you really see what happened. That's why I really recommend that you read it. You get the end of the story. But it's not the end of the story in a way. It's really just part of the beginning. In the words of the old hymn, God is working his purpose out as year succeeds to year. God is working his purpose out and the time is drawing near. It's now. Joseph was waiting and God was working on his character. Faithfulness in lean and dark times can prepare us and put us in a position to be used by God than we've ever imagined. And you see all of those things are happening with Joseph. And even Jesus, you see, didn't fritter away all the years of waiting. He was a carpenter. He was a carpenter, but he was a king waiting to come. God was preparing his son, and whilst he was living and working in relative obscurity, in a town that people had little desire to go near, he waited until the right time. But Jesus knew his father's plans and purposes. Let me read to you this scripture from Philippians. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We're to have the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery, it says in my version, robbery, to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. If I was to choose one line to try and sum up what I've been saying, it's this: that God can change you for the better in the worst of times. God can change you for the better in the worst of times. But here's another thought. What if God is also waiting on us? What if God is waiting on you to do something? And you're waiting on God to do something. Like I said at the very beginning, how many are praying about their situation? But how many are praying about God to change them? See, if you read the Bible, God always does something and then waits for a response, doesn't he? He's always, even since the beginning of creation in the garden, God did something and waited for a response, waited for something to happen. Psalm 27 verse 8 says this: When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, will I seek. God is looking for a response from us. God takes the initiative in our lives and then he waits for us to respond. And that's what he was doing with Joseph. That's exactly what he was doing with Joseph. God allowed painful experiences in Joseph's life to show him that something needed to change. God will sometimes allow difficult and painful experiences in our lives to show us that something needs to change. And that's a difficult one, isn't it? You know, that is a really difficult, challenging one. God's waiting for us. Whatever's going on in our life, he's waiting for us to let him have control. Are you prepared to turn over control to God? Are you prepared to let God have his way in your life? Again, it's a challenge, isn't it? And sometimes we come to a point where we almost say, don't we? Okay, God, you win. You win, God. You can have your way. God doesn't want us to do it that way, though, does he? He wants us to give him things, surrender things to him, submit things to him as an act of worship, to glorify God, not determined resignation. All right then, God, if you want to, you can do it. That's not how he operates. He's waiting for us to come to him, to surrender everything to him. Just like Abraham, who was willing to offer up his son in sacrifice. When Abraham's son said, who's going to be the sacrifice? What did God say? What did Abraham say? He didn't say it's going to be you. He said, God will provide the sacrifice, didn't he? God will provide the sacrifice. Hannah, willing to give her son Samuel back to God. God wants to give us back. Give up and give back all the time. It's quite simple, really. That's what he was wanting with Joseph. You see, when you look on the surface and see, well, how has God gone to fulfill all of Joseph's dreams when all of this rubbish stuff is happening in his life? No, God has a plan. And God's plan is going to prevail. God's plan for you, his purposes for you are going to prevail. Your part is to submit and give things to him. Yes, to wait on him, but to surrender everything. It's a very difficult thing. I don't say that lightly. You know, I don't. So does God's word speak to us? Well, read God's word. Read God's word. Meditate on it. Allow it to speak to you. Not just in the story of Joseph, but in every part of it, God's word. Wait on him. Trust him. Be obedient. Psalm 119, that's the very long one. It's got loads and loads of verses. So I'm not going to read all of it. I'll just read you a couple. You'll be pleased to know. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes. I shall keep it to the end. Give me understanding and I shall keep your law. Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. I'm going to close. Pete's going to play a track from a CD. I'm just going to close with this scripture. This is from the Message Bible, which sometimes it's quite good. But it's God's word. Trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He's the one that will keep you on track. Okay, Pete, can you just play that track?
If I sang the songs the angels sing, if I grasped the depths of everything, though the mysteries of this world were mine, I'm nothing without love. I could give to every child in need. I could save the planet from our greed. I could stand for justice till I bleed and never know his love. Love is patient, love is kind, not envious or boastful. Humble, pure and undefiled, rejoicing in the truth. I could give my money to the poor. I could preach the gospel door to door. Even save 1,000 souls or more and still not know his love.
Amen. Thank you. It's tea and coffee over there and chat if you want to talk.